good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And this portion is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, doing great work all over Turtle Island, so we really appreciate their work in supporting Native Roots Radio. Today we're going to have, of course, Ogama with the news. We're going to have Kevin Aberask on, who's managing editor of Indians.com, and Nathan Wright, who we haven't talked to in a while. He's a water protector, and we're going to be talking about Heart of the Turtle Gathering that's coming up, and I want one of those T-shirts. Ogama, my birthday's coming up, so I know you'll do me right this year, right? Hey, let's get with Ogama with the news here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome.
Hi, Aneem Bushu, everybody. I'm Ogama Ginuikwe. Robert, am I coming in clear now?
Loud and clear. Sounding good.
Awesome. Great. We had me on mute for a little while already today. It's the middle of the week for sure. But we were just talking about Robert Pilot's birthday. So Robert Pilot's birthday is, I believe, May 24th. Yeah. And he's doing a birthday fundraiser for the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition on his Facebook page. They have a wonderful mission, and he hopes that you can consider contributing as a way to celebrate with him. So every little bit would help reach the goal. Again, Robert's doing a birthday fundraiser for the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. They're a sponsor of Native Roots Radio. We have their commercials running on our show, and they are working to build resources and create awareness to eliminate sexual violence against Indian women and children. And they apply their efforts, including influencing social change and reclaiming traditional values that honor the sovereignty of Indian women and children. So you can go onto Robert Pilot's Facebook page for joining in his birthday fundraiser. And I believe when you fundraise through Facebook, Facebook takes care of the donation processing with no fees. So it's not like GoFundMe where they take a portion of it. So everything that you donate for Robert Pilot's birthday fundraiser to MUSAC, or also known as Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, goes directly to them.
So Ogama, I just got to say this. Last year, I got $4,000. So let's see if we can do a little better this year. If all my friends and relatives out there, I have over 5,000, and plus we have another 8,000 on Native Roots Radio Facebook. Just give a dollar, that'd be awesome. Thanks for bringing that up, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important, and MUSAC does really wonderful work, and we've got to uplift them when we can. So speaking of MUSAC, I don't believe they fall under this coalition of organizations I'm about to talk about, but there are so many others that we have worked with over the years that are super important. So what I would like you all to do, if you're from Minnesota, is to please contact your legislator, and urge them to pass SF 3648 or HF 3918, which is the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative, or ULI, U-I-L-I. And you need to do this before the session ends on May 23rd, 2022. The UILI is a collective of 16 renowned Native American nonprofit organizations that operate out of the Twin Cities. Their work focuses on issues ranging from healthcare to housing, workforce development to childcare. They've provided communities with powerful and effective services for more than 40 years, and they're now seeking $83.9 million in state funding to construct 12 new culturally affirming buildings. The facilities would allow them to address disparities by expanding services, creating safe, empowering experiences for those they serve, and it is no accident that the term legacy is part of this collaboration. They are trying to plant roots in the lands of our ancestors and move forward to transform their communities for generations to come. The Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative member organizations include the Endai Young Center, American Indian Community Development Center, American Indian Family Center, the American Indian OIC, the Division of Indian Work, the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul, Little Earth, Lower Fallon Creek Project, McGizzy Communications, Minneapolis American Indian Center, the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, the Native American Community Development Institute, and the Native American Community Clinic, and the New Native Theater. So that is a whole list of organizations, Robert, and I think at some point Native Roots Radio has worked with every single one of these organizations. Am I wrong?
That's right. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, everybody on here is so vital and so important to the communities here in the Twin Cities. So you're definitely going to want to, again, contact your legislator and urge them to pass SF3648 or HF3918, which is the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative. And you need to do that before session ends on May 23rd, 2022. And the best place for you to do that is actually going to be on the Lower Fallon Creek Project website. They have a website, and I'm going to put it up here. You can send an email at lpcp.good.do/UILI. And that's going to give you a pre-done email form that you can add your information to, or you can put in your own words what you might want to say to your legislator about approving this bill. And I think that it's just, I mean, it would be so amazing for these organizations to have this kind of funding to be able to increase the work that they do.
It was really slick how they set it up. I put my address in there and my representatives came up and I put the stock email out there and sent it. I'm not kidding. It was 30 seconds, Ogama.
Yeah, I think it took me about the same amount of time and it was really, really great. So again, take 10 seconds if you live in Minnesota and go ahead and ask them to pass the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative. And that information for you is up on the screen. And then today I want to just remind everybody again what's happening with Line 3. So environmental groups and people possibly affected by the new Enbridge Line 3 can voice their concerns to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission about Line 3 being abandoned, which Enbridge admitted they could be abandoning this pipeline as soon as 20 years, which would then leave landowners and the state of Minnesota responsible for cleanup. So if you have concerns about that, you need to submit your concerns to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission by May 19th. You can do that by including the docket number, which is 21-823, and filing online at mn.gov/OUC/consumers/public-comments. Or you can email publicadvisor.puc@state.mn.us. And I'm going to put this in our comments section here so that people are aware of what's going on and where they can comment on this. And I agree with Miss Nina here in our comments who said Enbridge is evil. I have to give you a close second here. It's definitely something that we've seen with Enbridge Energy in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in all of these places that Enbridge has put a pipeline. They have done damage to the environment. So definitely take your time if you can, if you're from Minnesota or if you're from an ally state, to go ahead and come give those comments on the Enbridge Line 3 Abandonment Project online. So that's a big one that I wanted to touch base on. And then, Robert, I think this is the middle of the week, and I just want to give everybody a heads up here that we're going to have, looks like we're going to have Kevin Abarask on next. Is that right?
Yep.
Yes, Kevin Abarask on a prayer camp that's been happening. So I'm pretty excited to hear about that.
Yeah, and he's the go-to guy with news all over Turtle Island. So I'm really excited too. Ogama, thank you. And again, thank you for the shout out. Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition has been doing work, great work, all over Turtle Island. And if you can, donate to my birthday cause on Facebook. And if not, just give them a great shout-out. We'll be right back with Kevin Aberask. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minneapolis Public Schools wants to hire you. They have a variety of positions to start your career. You can work in the classroom as a teacher or classroom support, or work outside the classroom as a bus driver, in the culinary wellness department to help prepare nutritious meals, or keeping the building safe and sanitized as a custodian. Bilingual, bicultural, candidates encouraged to apply. Start your career in education and apply today at jobs.minneapolis.k12.mn.us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Kevin, welcome. Great to see you. We're with Kevin Aberask. And Kevin is managing editor at Indians.com. And we credit and steal a lot of your great news that you put out there. And we really appreciate you coming on. And I know you have a camp out there, and we really are interested in what's going on. And again, welcome. Thanks for coming on. And such short notice, too.
Of course. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Robert and Ogama. Yeah, good to be here. And yeah, we have a lot going on out here. Yeah, this is a camp that we started about 10 days ago now. This began as an effort to stop this, what I would call a mega development, residential and retail, that's going to be built really on the back doorstep of our city's oldest and most used sweat lodge grounds, the NEPI grounds here in Lincoln, Nebraska. This sweat lodge grounds was established back in about 1979 by Chief Leonard Crow Dog and his wife and his father as well. This was established, you know, following the passage of the Indian Religious Freedom Act, and was established primarily for the use of the Native American inmates of the Nebraska Penitentiary, which is just a few miles down the road from this site. This mega development is going to have some very harmful impacts on this sweat lodge grounds. It's going to bring 1,200 cars daily to a road probably 40 feet from the NEPI itself. And it's going to bring, you know, 2,000 people. It's a small village, small town, really. They're going to plop right on the back doorstep of our, what I would call our mother NEPI here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We only have two NEPI grounds here in Lincoln, and this would be directly impacted. And the other one is really just catty corner from the development itself. So both are going to be impacted by this. And Native American people haven't been included in any of the process all along. We weren't invited to learn more about this project, to express our opinions about the project. it was only about 3 weeks ago that we were informed that this was happening. And we showed up at city council and, you know, expressed our concerns. There were nearly 100 people and quite a few Native Americans who showed up as well to express their concern about this project. The city council went ahead and approved a zoning change that's going to allow for this to happen. And really never once acknowledged, there were only two council members out of the seven who even uttered the words Native American or Sweat Lodge. The other five city council members never once acknowledged our concerns, even though they received hundreds of emails and letters and phone calls from people who were expressing concerns about the impact of this project on our Inipi grounds. So, you know, we felt like we had to do something. I mean, this was Native erasure, another act of colonialism and an attack on one of our most sacred rights. And we felt we had to take a stand. So about 10 days ago on a starlit Sunday night, we went out to the land where this project is going to be developed. And shortly after midnight, we set up seven teepees. And, you know, we had some incredible people who were out there setting up these teepees. And come daybreak that next morning, we've sent out a press release and issued a statement. We had a website established and a Facebook page. You know, been some really incredible people who've helped in all of this. And I want to give great credit to them as well in helping us, you know, get the word out about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And, you know, it's been an incredible past 10 days since we've been there. We've been meeting with city leaders. We've been talking to the developer, and actually, the land is currently owned by the Catholic diocese, which is, you know, of course, brings its own bitter irony into all of this. They're the institution that's going to benefit from this almost more than any other. You know, it's interesting that the boarding school report is issued today, and one of the boarding schools they discovered that we didn't even know existed here was a boarding school here in Lincoln, Nebraska. So that's one of the things we plan to look into in the coming days here is, you know, who established this boarding school, how many students went there, did we lose children there? All of these things are pertinent to our struggle right now. So that's about it. That's kind of a intro to what we're doing.
That's a huge deal. There's like 3 points I want to make, and one of them is, you know, I was a junior in high school when the law was passed that we could practice our own religion. Crow Dog opens up this sweat, you know, in 79, which I, you know, had the opportunity to meet him a few times, the honor, I should say. And then the Catholic Church is going to sell this land and make some money. These are all things that are just ironic and irony. It's just blown my mind. Kevin, what is a good way to support you and your action out there? Because, you know, we're in Milwaukee, Chicago, Madison, and the Twin Cities live now on radio. What can we do to help and support you guys?
Well, if anybody wants to come, you know, stand beside us, we'll always welcome that. You know, we can certainly let you know where that is. But if you go to our website, which is www.niskithe, it's N-I-S-K-I-T-H-E, prayercamp.com. You can find more about what we're doing here. And if you scroll down, there's certainly other ways to help us too. We expect to at some point have an encounter with local authorities. But so far there actually hasn't been a request to remove us to local authorities. So I think they're going to let us sit for the moment, but that's probably going to change very quickly once the developer takes ownership of the property from the church. But you know, there are ways to support us in terms of a bail fund. We are trying to establish a legal fund as well to challenge the city council's decision, to appeal that decision, and potentially to sue the city or the developer for what's happened here, because there are a lot of governmental processes that were circumvented in order to make this development happen that can certainly be challenged on legal grounds and should be challenged on legal grounds. So we plan to pursue that as well. And yeah, those are some of the ways.
Wow. It's go ahead, Ogama. Go ahead and ask.
You know, you may have said this already and I missed it, but what does Niskithe translate to?
Sure. That's an Omoho word or Omaha word that means salt. The Salt Creek runs right behind our Inipi grounds here. And the Salt Creek was really a convergence point for a lot of tribal communities in this part of Nebraska. The Omaha, the Otomazura, the Kanza, the Pawnee people would all come here to gather salt along the banks of the creek, and they would take it home, of course, in order to use it to cure their buffalo meat, deer meat, other kinds of meat that they ate. So it was, I would call it kind of a demilitarized zone in some ways. You know, it was kind of the four corners of these four tribes, and they would all come here and, you know, peacefully gather the salt. And
Wow, great question, Ogama. I imagine you are covering this too in Indians.com. Is there a daily? And I also want to give you a shout out there so people that can find out what's happening, whether they're not on Facebook, but they can get on to Indians.com. You're doing some updates on this struggle?
So that's an interesting question, Robert. And first of all, I need to apologize to my editor that I haven't really done anything yet for Indians.com. I didn't realize how involved this kind of a struggle would be to be one of the co-leaders of it. And so I just haven't had an opportunity. We've had a lot of press coverage. And if you Google, you know, Niskithe prayer camp, you'll see a lot of press coverage. But I just haven't had a chance to post about this. But I plan to in the next couple of days. So.
Well, let's give that Facebook group the name out there, too, so our people can listen, because I know I joined it, and I'm just going, wow, what is going on here? And I saw you in some pictures, and and this is just a great update for our people out there, you know, our white allies that need to support us, and our Native brothers and sisters all over Turtle Island, Kevin.
I sure appreciate the shout-out. Thank you so much for letting us talk about what we're doing out there. And thank you so much, Wopila Tonka.
Yeah, well, we'd like to get you on again next week and get some updates whenever you can, because this is something that, you know, we've run into all the time we turn around. And I feel like, you know, one of our issues is we come in peaceful and peaceful protesters, and you know, we're the bad guys, and really what we're trying to do is, you know, preserve who we are and preserve things that have been promised to us, whether it's treaties or this sweat for, I mean, just tell our folks here in a minute how important sweating is for a lot of healing with our people.
You know, you can't hardly drive through Lincoln, Nebraska without bumping into a church about every six or eight blocks. And that's not a complaint in any way. You know, it's a sign of a good, spiritually healthy community. But we have two Inipi lodges, and this is our most effective way of ensuring the emotional and spiritual health of our people. Lives have been transformed in that sweat lodge. My life was transformed in the sweat lodge when I got sober in 1996. And I've continued to use it in order to stay sober and be a good father and a good citizen. You know, and so many in our community have leaned on it and relied on it in that way. And to take one of these sweat lodges away from us is just going to cut our ability to take care of our community in that way by half. And, you know, in a community that purports to want to improve our lives and address some of these historical traumas that have been enacted upon us, is hypocritical at best. So to do this and then say otherwise. So anyway.
Wow, Kevin, really well said. Thank you so much for stopping in, and we really do want to get an update. We support all your work out there, and my relatives out in Nebraska, my Winnebago and Ho-Chunk people, got to give them a shout-out to come and help Kevin. This is what it's all about. So thanks again, Kevin, for stopping in.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Ogama.
Ho. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next we're going to have Nathan Wright. We're going to talk some Line 5 and what's happening in Michigan. We'll be right back after this short break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Things may be getting better, but COVID is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 5 and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 12 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Getting boosted increases your protection against severe disease from COVID-19. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman. You can hear my show every weekday at 2, right after Tom Hartman on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
20% of the general population have hearing loss and can't understand speech in noisy places. The universal blue and white hearing loss sign, imprinted with a capital letter T, means that a hearing loop is installed. Switch your hearing aids or cochlear implants into the T or telecoil mode for clearer speech. Contact your audiologist or instrument dispenser to learn more about this technology. Paid for by the Minnesota Commission of the Deaf, Deaf Blind, and Hard of Hearing, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblatt. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblatt from Shamblatt Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblattfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Warmer weather is here, and that means it's time for home improvement projects. If you're planning a remodel or property upgrade for your home or business, switching to solar energy should be part of your project, and All Energy Solar can help. Most home improvement projects don't pay for themselves until the property is sold, but switching to All Energy Solar is an investment that can actually pay for itself even if you don't sell your property. In fact, after 30 years of operation, solar energy could pay back 300 to 400% of the cost. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar is built to last, not just for years, but decades. Most systems from All Energy Solar come with a 25 to 30 year warranty. So make your home improvement project a better investment that can last and pay for itself by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms tonight with a low around 67. Thursday, another chance for storms with a high near 90. And Friday, sunny with a high around 77. Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and destination restaurant serving delicious food and drinks. They have dining room and bar room seating available as well as takeout and delivery. Current hours are 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with the full menu available until midnight. That's Nightingale off 26th and Lindale. More at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, thanks. Welcome back. And I've gotten a few messages during the show here, and I want to really give a shout-out here to Ogama and thank her for mentioning the fundraiser. There's a bunch of people that have donated, and I want to really just say thank you, Peeny Gigi and Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition is going to really thank you. So a good one on that, Ogama. That was awesome. So it's exciting to see the numbers go up like that. Hey, we're with Nathan Wright. He's a water protector. He's from Michigan. You know, Nathan, you're going to be talking about Heart of the Turtle Gathering and those cool T-shirts. But, I was looking on your Facebook, and I did not realize this, and I have to give out full respect to you that you're a former Marine. And I just got to say ahoo to that. very sacred with our people, the military, and really, I just want to say thank you for serving. And again, thank you for stopping in. It's been a while.
Yes. Well, me Gwich for that. And yeah, it has been a minute there. And I always say with the Marine stuff, I used to fight for our country, but now I fight for Mother Earth. So, is what I'm doing now. So I've taken those experiences. But I thank you for saying that. We don't hear people say that too much, and it is an honor to help out our people in any way we can. So we're doing this Heart of the Turtle gathering, and this is basically something that we started last year with the eviction notice. And this year, I wasn't sure about doing it this year, you know, because there was just a lot of stuff going on in my life. And, you know, sometimes you get burnt out when you do stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And then I went to the pipeline conference up there in Duluth, and I was re-inspired by some of those water protectors from Line 3. That was, I think, in March. And so I just, after that, I was really inspired. It's funny how you hang out with fellow water protectors, and you could go from this one demeanor of, I'm not going to do it this year. There's a lot of stuff involved in it too. I'm going to do it this year, but this year I'm going to try to outdo what I did last year, just because there's so many people you meet that are willing to help you out. You know what I mean? And that's what we've been blessed with this particular group that we are working with right now.
Yeah, it is inspiring. And it's also, the fatigue is a real deal. And we have, you know, not only Ogama and I have been trying to cover this with our own fatigue and keeping plates spinning, but we have like Nancy Bolio on every week, Winona LaDuke, Gina Peltier. Those people are frontline boots on the ground like yourself. And I can only imagine what kind of vacation you really deserve after all this.
Well, I mean, in some ways, the hardest part, especially organizing an event right now, is just getting everyone together. Like right now, like in a way, I'm on the front line right now, and a lot of stress, everything like that. But once we get there, everything kind of lays out. It's really good. I tried to make it this year so I have more time to talk with people. Last year was pretty hectic, but we got enough help now, and people work in different areas. You know, you learn as you go along when you organize. You learn how to not spread yourself too thin in that, and you learn from your mistakes, and you become better each time you do it. So this year is going to be an International Indigenous Global Warming Gathering. And we're focused on the pipeline, of course, but we're also trying to bring in other people from different areas to come in and learn. Because I think every time we do these conferences or these gatherings, that we need to kind of expand on it and add more to it so we can draw more people into our cause. And I think that's important, that we always are constantly bringing in people. So this year, after going to the pipeline conference that we had up in Duluth, we have met some great folks from the indigenous Siberian people, and they are here in the United States right now. So they're going to come. One of them is Pavel. I can't say his name too well. Forgive me, Pavel, but his name is on our flyer on MackinawOday.com. And he is like the number one indigenous leader in Siberia. He actually, they fought pipelines over there. So he's going to bring some of that experience. And there's other people from Siberia as well, indigenous people that are coming to share their experiences, music, dance. And then on top of that, we have people coming from Canada. We have a First Nations chief coming, Dean Sayers. We have a Bay Mills chief that's up in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Whitney Gravel, she's coming. But then we also have some people from Wissuthatong. Am I saying that right? Ogama probably knows how to say that better than me.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Well, that place at Wissuthatong, forgive me, I'm saying it wrong, but it's where they were doing a lot of the battling last year up in northwestern part of the United States and in Canada. It's actually in Canada. So they're gonna have representatives from there. We have some First Nations people that are gonna be here as well. We're going to have inventors that are talking about new innovation as part of this gathering. We're going to have people talking about the pipelines, people talking about the Kalamazoo spill, the worst oil spill in history, people how to deal with police as protectors, all kinds of issues with pipelines, such as the limestone that they're built on, how that could fail, missing and murdered Indigenous women, of course. and lots of different topics like that. So there's going to be Friday, which is going to be all kind of a presentation day, speaker day inside. We might do part of it outside. Then the next day is going to be the full-blown event. Walk to by Enbridge's pumping station, go down to Magulpin Point, which is on the shores there of the Straits. We're going to do our ceremonies there. People are going to dress in regalia, play their drums, have the jingle dress dancers there. Then we're going to relocate after we're done with that to go to another portion of the event where we're going to walk. This time we got permits to go in parade through the streets of Mackinac City with the Mackinac Bridge in the background. So that's going to be really nice to be a part of that. And then we're going to break for lunch, and then we're going to go from 1:30 to 7 o'clock with our speakers and music. And we got a really great lineup of speakers. You could go to our website to read them all. There's so many I can't mention here off the top of my head. But and then every day, as it is with any of these types of events, we start to get more and more people involved. The longest walkers are coming through. They've made it this far. So it's like everything is just, you know, coming together magically. And we're at that phase now of this event. So
that's awesome. Are we going to see any of it? Because somebody like me that has to stay kind of close to home, are we going to see any of this online, live streaming? Do you have any so we can and support that too?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be doing live streaming from the Mackinac O'Day webpage. We got a group and a page, so you want to get on the page. We'll probably mention it on both of them, but definitely we will be doing live streaming. Now, the Saturday event, I'm pretty sure we're going to stream that too. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. You know, let's just talk about not only the information of this great event, but also what's going on. And I know my brothers and sisters, you're in Michigan, and my brothers and sisters in Wisconsin are dealing with what we dealt with from Enbridge. You know, we had line three, and now line five is cutting through and only going to be lasting. Ogama was saying something about only 20 years. Enbridge is saying that their pipes will last. And what the heck? What the heck?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're still tied up in courts, which is going to be for some time now. And I think it's important for us as water protectors to, even though we're in a, you know, a little bit of a different situation than, you know, line three as were last year when they were stopping the pipeline. We're trying to stop the tunnel, which is the main issue of contention here in Michigan. And that's the tunnel that they're trying to build to house the two pipelines that go through it, feeling that that is going to be safer in the long run. But the whole pipeline is, what, 68, 69 years old now? And that pipeline, the whole pipeline needs to be replaced. There is no good solution, really, not even for Enbridge, the expense it would cost them to replace it, other than to shut it off and find another way of doing it. And as the IPCC, the group basically said, we have three more years left before we have to make drastic changes. We have to make drastic changes before it's too late to stop global warming. So that came out in April, that report. And that was one of the precursors, too, for this event, is that we get together as indigenous people and share our traditional knowledge, and not only our knowledge, but our beliefs, like how we connect with the land, why that's so important. We take that for granted as indigenous people because we know how to do that. But a lot of people don't, which has surprised me. And part of me, on a very deep level, feels that if we teach people how we connect to the land and why it's important to us and show them why we care so much for the land, that maybe they'll start doing it too. And maybe more of us will realize, you know, that why we shouldn't dig up things or why we shouldn't pollute things and the importance. So I think it is important right now, especially where we're at in the history of the world, that our indigenous teachings start coming out more and we start sharing it with others. And, you know, also teach them how to be respectful with it. We don't want people to, you know, take those teachings for granted and misuse them. But, certainly, I think we're at a time now. And plus, a lot of these prophecies that, you know, I've been talking to my spiritual people and elders and our headmen and headwomen here and with the tribe that's nearby, Little Traverse Bay Band, who, by the way, has given us a letter of support for this event. They talk about prophecies, and some of the things that we're doing right now seems to be in line with that. And it's really interesting when you realize something you're doing or something you're a part of might entail something to do with one of our prophecies that we've had as Anishinaabe people. And coming together like this, and learning this isn't just the pipelines, what we're doing here. We're also sharing our culture with each other. It's become a place for younger people to learn about it. And also spiritual leaders are starting to come to these events and starting to help out. So there's something more coming and happening from this than we really realize, but we just got to continue to do it and continue to build those networks, get more people involved, and become more stronger together.
Well, Nathan, do you have time to hold on for a part of another segment? I know you're really busy, but one of the things I'd really like to ask you and talk about in our next segment is, I believe, our white allies were colonized at one time. They were close to the earth at one time, and they have to realize that we're the last stand here, but they were also, they were also close to the land and protecting the land, and they got colonized big time. So let's talk a little bit about that, if you can, when we come back. That would be awesome. Sure. So,
yes.
Awesome. We're with I said awesome a lot today, but hey, we're with Nathan Wright, and we're going to talk some more about Line 5 and his great event that's coming up. And wow, this has been a great show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion's brought to you by Hauling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. All right, good one. That was awesome, Nathan. We tricked you into that. So we do that on the portions brought to you by on a fourth segment. Usually is Wendy's talking about her sacred animals, but she's off today. So I talked a little bit about that, and I really believe that our a lot of let's just say white people, but especially our. I want to talk to especially our white allies that you guys are not that far away, but you were colonized way before us, and you were close at one time to Mother Earth. What do you think of that statement, Nathan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I like to, the teaching, I remember that, you know, the four directions, the colors, the white for the white man, the yellow for the yellow man, you know, the people in Asia, and then the black for the black man, and the red for, you know, the people here on Turtle Island, and how the Creator gave them all instructions and sent them all to different parts of the world. And a lot of them forgot these instructions because of colonialization, because they had leaders taking their sacred writings and texts and rewriting them and changing them to make them more about controlling them as opposed to them being connected the way they were at one point in time, not only to Creator, but also to land. So that's why I think a lot of people are drawn to our teachings that are non-Indigenous for that reason, because there is a familiarity in their deep down in their spirit, I believe, that connects them to it. So another teaching that an elder taught me is that whenever we're sharing our teachings with other people, that it is a temporary placeholder for them to inspire them to seek out more about their own Indigenous cultures and learn more about that. And there was just a movie I recently seen, Northmen, I think it was about Vikings. And that could easily have been like a Native American movie in that, you know, they could have easily made the characters all Native American. But when I seen that, I was like, you know, it's really violent too, by the way, if you don't like violent movies. But when I seen that, I said, this is cool right here, you know, that people are, other people are going back and learning more about their Indigenous cultures. Because as you know, it took us a long time and we're still doing that. We're still bringing back our culture. We're still learning our language. But when other cultures do that too, that's awesome. That's what we'd like to see. We'd like to see that happen because we want you to connect to your own roots and then start learning about, you know, how you can connect to Mother Earth. There's sweat lodges that they had. What is it? The Scottish? I think a lot of them did. But there was a picture I seen where they have a bunch of grass and rocks built around it. But that was one of their sweat lodges. It was really not too far different from what we have here on Turtle Island. So right. I think that's one of the most beautiful things we can do, because we're starting to realize that colonization has really screwed things up, especially colonization and capitalism for us people that protect the water and protect the environment. It's really making things difficult, that mindset. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize, how far can we go with this? You know, people are really starting to ask, especially our younger people. They're becoming more concerned, and they're looking at different ways than we are right now of how they can change things.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That was right on. And that's what I feel. And I think that's not talked enough about. And that was beautiful what you had to say, because, you know, the medicine wheel and we're all here. And I know us as natives really need our allies, because the percentage of us here on Turtle Island has been decimated over the last 500 years. So we really need that. So that was beautiful what you had to say, Nathan.
Well, thanks. I mean, I think a lot about where I'm at, like on a spiritual level or what I'm doing, you know, and I think back to the teachings that were given to me and I try to share them as much, but, you know, sometimes we got to pull back from not only from ourselves, we have to look at the really big picture. And I'm Crane, and I think that's what we do. We kind of fly high, so we see the whole bigger picture. But we also have to remain humble in the work that we do. And we also have to provide spaces for a lot of the different people that might be the way we were, you know, when we were younger, and help them find their voices and empower them to be better people, especially our youth.
And yeah, Nathan, I really agree. And I think one of the things that we talk about a lot here on Native Roots Radio is how there was a lag of that for quite a few years. And I think the young ones now have really picked it up. And, you know, whether it was boarding schools or fear or just being colonized big time. But I think the swing has really come back the last few years. And I'd have to say, you know, Standing Rock helped that out too, with the eighth fires being put everywhere across Turtle Island. So, so I'm really excited for the youth, and there's people out there that are younger than me, can speak Ho-Chunk and Ojibwe and Lakota, Dakota, and all the other languages so much better than people my age. But it's a renaissance in a sense, I think we're talking about.
That's a good way of putting it. I mean, yeah, it is like a renaissance, and we have to be, I always say this to a lot of the elders. They say, well, people got to come to me to get tobacco. And I mean, I agree with that to some extent. Well, I do agree with that. I'm not saying to some extent, but there's also times that I think we need to start sharing. And when COVID happened, I think more of those elders started to come out and they started sharing. And now that COVID is, you know, well, where it's at, there are more people coming out, like even, you know, shake tent ceremonies, you know, that they're occurring over in Minneapolis. And, you know, some of these people are starting to be out teaching about the stars and, you know, star knowledge. And there's a lot more of those teachers that found Zoom to as a way to do this. There, of course, there's nothing better than being with someone in front of them to learn. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that'll ever replace that. But just to spark that interest, I think language, you know, really started that first. They were teaching people online, but now to have people talking about these things and then doing these events or traveling around to do them, I think that's really awesome. That's really it's helping us. It's helping us perpetuate our culture at these sort of events. It really is. We're not really thinking about that, but it is. We're bringing so much of that into these events, and there's a lot of younger people that are seeing this for the first time. And us old timers aren't thinking about that. We're just saying, "Oh, this is just another this is our another sweat," you know. But because we've done a lot, but they haven't, so we got to remember that. So when we go into that circle, I always tell this to people: when we're in that circle, when we're together at an event, any differences that we have are set aside. Just like when we go into ceremony, you keep them outside because they're in that circle. We're together as one. I just went into an event a couple months ago, and there was a guy there that actually was working for Enbridge, and he was a native, and so I first, you know, kind of looked back, but then I said, well, we're in a circle right now. I can't think about that. So I shook his hand. I said, good to see you. And he was professional. We didn't even talk about it. We laughed and giggled. But that's how we are as a people. When we come into that circle, when we're in ceremony, we set aside all of our differences.
Wow, what a great way to end this. I just have to say one thing before you go, Nathan, is that it's been proven, look it up on Snoops or Snopes or whatever, but we're all star people. We come from the stars, and that's can't be disputed. So thank you for stopping in. Let's not make it this long again to see you. Great update, and thank you for coming on. And again, I had to say this to the last guest, but on such short notice, so I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dave.
And everyone, check out Mackinac O'Day, MACKINAWODE.com. Donate button at the top if you want to donate. There's some cool T-shirts from Christy Belcourt that were giving you with the donation, and all that information's on there. We're going to be practicing COVID protocols this weekend, so everything will be good. Thank you for having me, Robert, and Ogama, congratulations for everything that you've been going through. We really appreciate it.
All right. Wow. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation free Leonard Peltier.